For God Bless America magazine, this is Gordon Dixon. Thank you so much for joining us for this extended edition of the God Bless America October 2024 edition. With me is Brother Byron Fox, and he is going to introduce our special guest today.
Thank you, Brother Dixon, for hosting these interviews. And we've had a great time interviewing these article contributing writers. And we've got with us today Brother Chad Connolly. He's one of my best friends. I first met him about 13 or 14 years ago in Washington, D.C., and he and I have interacted many times. He's got a wonderful family, grown children now, and he teaches Sunday school at his church. He's a deacon at his church in Prosperity, South Carolina. And Brother Chad, welcome to the interview today.
Man, Byron, I love you, brother. Yeah, we go back a ways now, brother. It's amazing how God works to put us together, because there's no doubt. I just love and respect and appreciate you and your leadership and your heart and your ability to gather people and to motivate them, Byron. It's a sight to behold. And I'm honored to join you. And of course, I love Gordon Dixon and all he does. What a talent, what a speaker, what a writer, what a researcher. So, man, I'm honored to contribute anything I can.
Yes. And, you know, you were hosting the event where God put this magazine on my heart. I preached a sermon that day at the Pastor Summit and Leader Summit there in Florida from Joshua chapter 3. I titled the sermon, Take Your Next Step. Well, it turns out it was me that needed to take my next step.
Amen.
And I needed to do this magazine. And so we launched into it with just a few weeks' notice. And you've written an article entitled Salt and Light in a Dirty Business. And even the very first statement in here, it's actually a question. I want to start with it. The opening question that you have in this article is this: should church members get involved in the public arena? Well, Brother Chad, what's the answer to that?
You know, it's what I talk about every day, Byron. It's probably what I was talking about when you first met me is, boy, we got a problem. You look across our nation and really the world, but since we live here, let's keep it to America, right? And we see things going on that just don't make sense. They're not common sense. They're not conservative values. They're certainly not Christian values, but the things that people jump into and embrace frustrate us all. And we as Christians, I believe a man named Jesus hung on a tree for me and for you. And I can get to heaven and enjoy eternal salvation if I, not Byron Fox for me, not Gordon Dixon for me, not Newberry Baptist Church for me, Chad Connolly, if I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart Jesus is Lord, the scripture says I shall be saved. And that is an individual responsibility. And that hit me, Byron. That hit me that as frustrated as I am about society, the culture, the craziness. I mean, good gracious, did you have all this stuff on your bingo card that we'd be doing?
No.
Boys and girls rest? Did you ever think we'd have these conversations? And
no.
So as frustrated as I get, and I'm a math guy, right? I got an engineering degree from Clemson, and then I was in the Army, so very logical. When I started researching this and finding out there's about 82 million people sitting in church who profess Christ as Lord, they're sitting in church, and only about 30 million, 32 million vote in an election. And when you read the scriptures on salt and light, that there's a disconnect. There's somewhere, based on everybody's definition, 30, 40, maybe even 45 or 50 million people who are sitting in a church, Byron, who don't even go exercise their right to vote. And so it hit me in that engineering logical sense. How can we be salt and light if we're not even voting in the public arena? And of course, you know this. It's not just a big election like a presidential or a governor's or a Senate or a congressional. It's school board races. My goodness, Christians are getting their teeth kicked in by policies that are directly opposed to what we stand for, and say we stand for and believe in. But look at the turnout when there's a school board election or a county council or a city council. So people who hate our Lord, who don't agree with us, secular humanists, Marxists, socialists, they're the ones who are running things. And so I don't have any right to be frustrated at what I see if I'm not part of the solution and at least voting my values. So it's an easy yes to that answer to that question.
Well, I agree with all that you just said. And I remember distinctly in October of 2019, you asked me to assemble a small group of pastors in my local area of Virginia. And with just a few days' notice, we got 18 preachers together, sat at a restaurant. You put your PowerPoint up on the wall in our little private dining room. And you gave those facts that there were over 80 million Christians who go to church on a regular basis, believe the Bible's inspired word of God, believe that Jesus bodily rose from the grave. We're talking about people who know the Lord, and yet only 40 million registered and only 31, 32 million ever on a regular basis vote. Yeah. And I have to acknowledge and remember and admit that I stood up when you said that. I said, Chad, that can't be. I said, that's got to be hyperbole. You said that's documented fact.
Wow.
And so, Chad, you and I and our Faith Wins team, since that day, we have truly, this is the truth, we have registered 2 million Christians in our country to vote. Now, we still have a long way to go. Anybody listening to this, if you are not registered to vote, I have a question. Why are you not registered? Get registered. It's not that difficult. This past Saturday, the town that I was in, the church that I was in, there was a young lady who had just turned 18. I asked her if she's registered to vote. She said no. I said, let me help you do that right now. 10 minutes later, she's a registered voter. It's not that hard. So elaborate on this part. The public arena is a rather dirty business world. It's a slime pit in many ways.
Yeah.
And is that really why some Christians don't get engaged?
You know, I don't know. I mean, you know how it goes. People make excuses about anything, right? I do think the dominant one, you know, and they'll see the political world. Oh, my goodness, that's dirty business. There's a bunch of crooks. There's a bunch of corruption. And you're right. I can get excited about, man, we've registered 2 million people who are Christians who weren't voting, who are now new voters just in the last, you know, couple cycles. But when I look around, I realize we got to register 10 million or 20 million. No doubt about it, that is an excuse. They'll use that as the reason not to engage. And my answer is that's exactly why you should engage. If your society, your culture, your town, state, nation is showing signs of there's just too much of that, then there's not too much Christian. There's not enough Christian influence. And so, Byron, I think God let me do politics at the highest levels, being a state party chairman, being a senior staffer at the Republican National Committee, having meetings in the White House and in the RNC staff rooms with political consultants. And I noticed that there's just not a lot of biblical worldview there, I guess is the best way to put it. They don't share mine and your beliefs. I said this the other day to the Christian Post, and I said, you know, when you're dealing with people whose major interaction with their Bible is when their maid dusts around it every week, you can't expect them to share our worldview. My wife likes to say, when non-believers act like non-believers, we shouldn't be surprised. Mm-hmm. I think what's tough for us as Christians, we assume that the political groups that we associate with and gravitate towards would be just like us.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're not. And goodness, I've been in my little Baptist church and had massive disagreements in my deacon meeting. So it that's not surprising to me. What is surprising is a lot of those political experts, they'll want your votes, not your voices. So what we've dedicated Faith Wins to be is we're going to maximize Christian votes and voices so that nobody can ignore us. When you see public policy that not only goes against what we believe in, but it's hostile to what we believe in, then this is our fault. And we need to do all we can to fix it and turn this ship around.
Okay, so you not only contributed an article to this magazine, but there's a large ad about Faith Wins, about this matter of election integrity. So it's not just register, not just vote, but then some will go the extra mile, the second mile that Matthew 5, 25, verse 41 talks about. What is that extra mile? Poll watching? Is that what it is? Election officers? What should Christians do in that arena, Chad?
Well, you know, Byron, you're probably in the room when this, we kind of stumbled on this. I had already been doing, I've been telling the political people, you ought to be using Christian kids to do your door knocking. You know, the Christian kids in the Christian high schools, the Christian colleges probably aren't swinging off the chandeliers at some downtown bar at 2 a.m. and then knocking on somebody's door at 10. Poll watching kind of happened like that. As I told these experts, you ought to be recruiting in the churches. They're more reliable. They're more trustworthy. They're not going to put a name down and then not show up to work. Their integrity matters to them. And I couldn't get their buy-in. And I think it was, you know, we had a couple teams out in your state of Virginia, and one of them went into one of those election offices and had that. It might have been Dr. Edwards was with them. I don't remember who now. Dr. Mike Edwards might have been with them when they had the sign, now hiring seasonal workers.
Yeah.
Count votes during the centralized absentee precinct, early voting. And our person said, what are seasonal workers? And they responded with something like, they pick fruit in the summer, the fall, they're available, they're inexpensive. And to which our folks said, are they Americans? And the lady kind of stumbled around some of them. And, well, why don't we bring our churches? And that's really what started it, because people had a real concern about the integrity of the vote. And so we recruited 1,343 people from the churches in Virginia to be poll watchers. And of course, you've heard the stories. We found all kinds of stuff. Just having Christian eyeballs on the process. I had a high-level attorney who had been involved in some of the national stuff and that everybody's read about, heard about. If I started mentioning names, they'd know them. But he said, Chad, it doesn't solve all the things we're concerned about. But he said, just having presence and Christian eyeballs on the process probably fixes 75% to 80% of the areas of concern.
Wow.
Well, that's a big deal.
It is.
That's a big deal. If we just had people watching the process who have integrity, who are going to show up and work. They love the Lord. They love the nation. They want to keep our country on track. We've been given a great gift, this thing called freedom. That really is a biblical freedom. Freedom in Christ is ultimate freedom. The free market system that gives you the right to succeed or fail, that Adam Smith and then the American founders duplicated with the Declaration and the Constitution. It's the earthly, we live in a republic, not a democracy, model of real freedom. And so we've been given this great gift, and it's ours to steward. And let's face it, we've not done very well. We're truly on the precipice. Did you think we'd go through in the last months an assassination attempt, a major party candidate backing out because he had a bad debate, another candidate being anointed without a single delegate vote being cast, a candidate who will barely do an interview, another one who'll talk all the time about anything? Did you ever think we'd be talking about, I mean, the Olympics a couple months back, the kind of nonsense that people had to watch that night that was embraced by many people in the world? We got dudes beating up women for Olympic gold, kids who are girls who worked their entire lives. There's now an entire political party, Byron, that has embraced the idea that if a boy feels like a girl, he should be able to compete against girls. Forget the girls' rights, despite the fact they've worked their entire lives. And, you know, you don't have to do much Bible to dig into that. That's just common sense. It's almost like we're rewarding men beating up women now. This is insanity. And the only way you fix this stuff in a republic like ours, where we've been given the responsibility to vote and engage, is get our people voting their values. And so the poll watcher part is an extension of that. Hey, you want to do something to help out? I got something for you, buddy. And that QR code, we can put you in a slot in a state. And even though it may be challenging, it may be a tough day, I'm telling you, you'll rarely feel more fulfilled as an American when you're doing your part that way.
That's right.
Amen. Just before we go to Brother Gordon to ask you a question, we're interviewing right now Brother Chad Conley. He's the leader of Faith Wins. And you go to the website, faithwins.org, and learn a lot more. What would you like to ask our guest, Brother Dixon.
Chad, when I was doing the research for the book on 12 Ways You Can Make a Difference, you pointed me toward a lady in your congregation. Her name is Nancy, and that somebody approached her about the really perverse summer reading that his own kids were being assigned to. Tell us about that, and tell us on a practical level how someone can be salt and light in a situation like that.
It's a great reminder. Look, it's worth reading your book for that story, because she is the quintessential. She was sitting in my Sunday school class, and of course, I always try to work in worldview. I talk about current events and how does God see this, not as Chad or me or you or the polls. How does God see this? And so Nancy, she had a Catholic upbringing, got saved some years ago, had bounced around some churches, moved to South Carolina, actually from Long Island, and started coming to our church, fell in love with the church, the pastor, me and my wife, Dana, we love them. And so she was like, what can I do? What can I do? So somebody in our class mentioned, have y'all heard about the books they're sending home with kids? Now, Nancy's a retired school teacher. They're retired out on one of the lakes in South Carolina. And she said, what should I do? I said, we need to investigate and go to the school board meeting and find out. Sure enough, somebody in the county, little old county in South Carolina, had ordered books that are completely inappropriate for children, completely. And of course, you as taxpayers got to pay, I think it was $96,000 for these stupid books. And they put these in the kids' hands for summer reading. So Nancy shows up, starts asking questions, and tells them this is a ridiculous use of money. Long story made short, not only did she get them to reverse it, stop it, order better books this year, Nancy is running for school board, y'all. That's an update.
How about that? I hadn't heard that.
She is running for school board, and I talked to her at church Sunday, and she actually filed like the last minute. And they're nonpartisan. School board races are nonpartisan in South Carolina. But the lady who was in that spot was a lefty, hates things of the faith. You just wouldn't believe the stuff she's pushed. Y'all, she forgot to file. She came a day late for filing. So the morning of, Nancy's calling some of our buddies, and she decides to file at like 15 minutes left to go. Nancy should win a school board seat in Newberry County, South Carolina, because the other person, now she'll run a write-in campaign, and it is not a favorable drawn district for a conservative. But Nancy's running hard. We're talking every week right now, trying to get her advice. And y'all say a prayer for Nancy. She may be on the school board in our little county here in just a matter of weeks.
That is really amazing. Thanks so much for sharing that.
Well, I'm glad you asked me that question, Gordon. That's so awesome, because it really does highlight how somebody, you know, they're just watching all this go on. What can I do? What can I do? And I've told thousands of people, go to your school board meeting, go to your county council meeting, get informed. That is exactly what Nancy did. She went and got informed and said, wait a minute, this is wrong. And, you know, you've probably heard me speak. The first place where somebody in a school board in America was Houston, that said boys should go to girls' bathrooms. And I wasn't there. You weren't there. I haven't even read the transcript. All I know about it, there wasn't a Christian with a backbone in the room. And I tell the audiences when I speak, if my mama, who's been in heaven 8 years now, almost 8 years, if my mom had been in the room when somebody said that, she'd have picked up a chair and whopped them upside the head, because Dorothy Connolly didn't put up with lying. And that's what we're doing. Ultimately, we're lying to people, and we're enabling lies. So Nancy just stood up, and that's when people listen to this, I hope y'all are getting it. You can make a difference right where you are. Find out what that need is and go fill it.
And we're not asking people to be obnoxious or in any way really. We're just asking them, get in there and just start politely asking questions, and political officials will pick up really fast. Ooh, somebody's asking questions. We better be paying attention to what we're doing here.
You better believe it. That's exactly what happened. She wasn't rude. She wasn't ugly to him. Wasn't anything except, hey, this is a problem. And, you know, you guys aren't paying attention. I don't know who did it. I'm not going to point fingers, but these are not appropriate books for children to be reading.
Well, that highlights something we want to emphasize even in this interview. We get so enamored with the presidential election that we forget that this year every seat in the U.S. House of Representatives is up for election.
That's right.
A lot of the Senate, U.S. Senate, but beyond that, I live in Newport News, Virginia, and we have school board votes going on right now, this year. And there's over 600 school board members across the state of Virginia. And Christians should be on those school boards helping to raise the level of righteousness in our local area. And very small turnout in local area voting. And if the church got highly engaged, wow. It would make a huge difference. You know, at Faith Wins, I want to make sure we say this again, Brother Chad. At Faith Wins, we never endorse any candidates. Yeah. There are no perfect office holders. There are no perfect candidates, but we do have, praise God, a perfect Savior. And we love Him. Brother Chad, this has been a fantastic interview. And again, go to faithwins.org. Get more engaged. Get other Christians more engaged. Get your Sunday school engaged. Get your church engaged. And, you know, God Himself ordained the home. God Himself ordained the church. And God ordained the government. So it's inconceivable that God's people would not be engaged in this third arena called the public arena, government. Yeah. Brother Chad, do you have any final statement that you would like to make?
You know, I've been finishing up with this, Byron, and you guys are awesome to do this because we got to all do everything we can. I just want to say this. Everything you care about is at stake in this election.
Right.
Everything. I don't believe this is a Democrat, Republican, liberal, conservative. I think we're in good versus evil. Mm-hmm. If we have people embracing abortion on demand, up to and including birth, marriage with anybody, anything, two cows, a parakeet, three men and a woman kind of thing, just ridiculousness to the utter degrees, the whole trans movement, the LGBTQ plus, JKL, NLP kind of thing, anything goes. That is on the ballot now. And we've got people pushing full-blown socialism. And if they just look at the inflation rate and the grocery price and the gas prices, everything you care about, and that's not even talking about Israel and the Middle East and the chaos we're seeing there. So everything you care about is at stake. It's not good enough to just vote. It's time to get everybody you know engaged. And if they don't know how to get engaged, go to our faithwins.org site, email us for what state you're in. We'll get you hooked up to somebody that can show you where they need help.
And for our listeners today, thank you very much for joining us. Brother Fox, Brother Connolly, thank you both so much for joining us today.
Love you guys. Appreciate you.
God bless.
If you'd like to hear more, and you receive this audio and it's not in the context of the magazine itself, if you would please go to godandcountry.me, godandcountry.me, and there you can access this edition of God Bless America magazine. It's the October 2024 edition. If you'd like to hear more about Faith Wins, it's faithwins.org. Thank you so much for listening today.